Luke 17. Forever, Luke 17. How long have we been studying Luke? What?
6 years.
No. All right, we're in verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And we're studying what revealed is. Apocalypto. Let's go to, did we go to Colossians, Pete? 1:26?
Yes.
Okay, then we go to 2 Thessalonians.
Can I say that I'm sure we just said this, but it's like this day is like any other day. Eating, drinking, marrying, having kids, whatever.
No sign. That's why it's critical that we continue the walk and remember always that we're not part of the world.
Yeah.
All right, we've studied this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 many times, but let's see another area of revealed. We beseech you, brethren, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, or again, remember, coming is parousa, and it can either be coming or presence. And I prefer presence. By the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Christ is at hand. And we've said many times, for 40 years, I've taught the day of Christ is here. And so, either the next part of it is true, or we are way off base. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I believe we have revealed who the son of perdition, the man of sin, is, and it's you and I. It's all men.
Can I make a commentary? I never quite saw this, but the day of Christ is at hand, and yet the day shall not come. In other words,
well, it says that no matter, you can't say that the day of Christ is at hand unless the man of sin has been revealed.
Yeah, so it is here. But it's the sin, man of sin.
Hasn't been revealed.
Well, is that the one that's revealed, or is Christ revealed?
No,
man,
listen,
the
listen.
Of man is revealed.
Listen.
Man of sin is revealed.
Be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. For that, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, if we haven't revealed the man of sin, the son of perdition, then you should shoot me.
Well,
now it's that place where it says that day shall not come is in italics, so that's not in the original text.
Well, it doesn't matter by any means, for it shall not come, or it can't be revealed until, except there come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. The point of it is, I believe we have revealed the man of sin. And the man of sin is you and I, who opposeth. And again, the revealed is there in verse 3. That's what we're studying.
Can we stay on 3 for just a second? Except there come a falling away first. So that's a personal falling away, not
it's a corporate. It's the falling away is the apostasy, the end time falling away, the end time apostasy.
But it's personal also.
It's personal also, but this is to the church. The man of sin has to be revealed, but it can't be revealed until there's an apostasy first. And that's where, as I've said so often, we are in the greatest state of, the church is in the greatest state of apostasy in the history of the world in terms of the percentage that are believing a false gospel. So there's an apostasy already. And the man of sin has been revealed. So the day of Christ can come at any time. Does everybody understand that? What don't you see?
So you're talking about on this planet now.
What?
On this planet, the day of Christ can come. You're saying there's a falling away on the earth in the current.
In the church, there's a falling away.
Okay. So.
And the man of sin has to be revealed before the day of Christ can come.
Okay, but that's happened or not happened?
You just said, well, I believe it's happened. The church doesn't. They say that much of the church believes that there has to be the building of the temple, and then for 3.5 years everything's great, and then the whole thing about the I even hate to say the word. What's the word I hate to say?
Rapture.
The rapture. That's that. There's no greater apostasy than that, because, well, I'm tired of talking about that.
When you said we believe we are the people of sin,
the human race,
right.
Each individual is the man of sin, is the son of perdition.
And are there other Christians that don't believe it, that believe it's Satan and it's not?
They believe that this is the Antichrist. That's what the people that believe in the rapture believe. All right? What?
No, just all the complicated machinations that everybody has to come up with.
Yeah. All right. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. And the word, there's two words, falling away. It's one word in Greek, apostasy. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Doesn't show anybody else. Everybody else thinks he's a fool. Now that's exactly what each one of us has done. We've set ourselves up in the temple of God. We show ourselves that we're as God because we judge good and evil. Remember, this is the key. This is the very beginning definition. That's what Satan seduced Eve with, that she could be as God, knowing good and evil. Now this has got to be addressed and seen in each one of us. Who is the man of sin that set himself up in the temple of God? Well, you are. And 666 is written in your forehead, the whole human race. And it's written there because that's whatever, it defines how you think. You can, the human, the mind can never reach seven. Mind can never be at rest. As a state of being, it can have the appearance of being at rest every once in a while, but fundamentally, the mind will always tell you there's something left to do.
Yeah.
You have to do something. You've got work to do, of any kind. And if your eye is single, then your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil, i.e., seeing that you're still doing stuff, then your whole body is full of darkness, and even the light that is in you is darkness.
That's what the Pharaoh is telling them.
Amen.
Your idol. You got to keep going, do something.
who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I tell you what, go back to Genesis 3 just a minute and see this so you can see it clearly. What's being has to be revealed here is the man of sin. The serpent said unto the woman, in Genesis 3, chapter, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's the fruit of the fall. Haven't you judged what's good and evil in your entire life? That's what every man does. Yeah. That's the fruit of the fall, rather than not having, rather than the state of innocence without self-awareness. Except you be converted and become as that darling infant, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. You're musing again.
Yeah, the deal there is.
I know, that's what I've been saying for 40 years.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. There's a line in the sand.
It's a bright, shining light that's so bright that it's, but your our minds are blinded. You can't see it. That's why you have to die. That's why you can't use your mind anymore.
That I, even as I'm speaking, think the words I'm saying are good. So, and I'm judging them as good words and good thoughts when I'm sharing with you.
Right.
So I'm committing the very sin.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine then why it says so often, why I teach so often that you can, if you use your mind, you can't just use a little bit of it for this. If you use your mind, the essence of it will be that you will judge for yourself good and evil.
Well, that's essentially all the mind has the capability.
That's why it has to die.
Right.
And so
that's why you abandon yourself. That's why you get a divorce from yourself.
Amen. And yet, scriptures say, and this is from John's comments a month ago, to be spiritually minded is life.
Spiritual minded is what? Abandonment of self. That's the only way you can be spiritually minded.
But it also has some modifiers to that where you think on these things.
Well, it's when you're, that's the only thing you're thinking of, the things that are from the mercy seat. Let your speech or mind or talk or thoughts be seasoned with salt. If any man speak, let him speak. It's from the oracle of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what all this is about. So you know the evilness of using your mind for anything.
I think that's the key word, is using.
What?
Using your mind is, I believe, the key word. It's the fulcrum in this mind problem. It's,
you make a lie of that profession when you use your mind.
There it is. When you use your mind. So
right.
Then you picked up.
So the evil one has raised himself from his deadly head wound.
Yeah. And uses that which he cannot understand to try and get more understanding or greater revelation or do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why that's why I've said for years what has to take place. If what you're doing in life, It seems as though you have to use your mind for something, then the only position you can take is the lowest seat and say, Father, forgive me. I don't know what else to do. You have to show me. But if you justify using your mind, then you're lost.
Another key word.
Lost.
Justify. Yeah.
You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. If that which is highly esteemed is abomination, then what you lowly esteem, I mean, it's any esteeming. If what you want is what the world wants, then it's a tell. You've got, repentance is necessary. If what you esteem is what the world esteems, God help you. If what you fear is what the world fears, the only response is repentance.
Yeah, everything's leading us back to repentance.
Amen.
You go anywhere we run into that.
This is why. This is the warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ.
So mighty through God.
Right, but repentance is always the key. He's not going to do anything unless you repent.
How about letting?
Well, letting is, you got to repent. Without letting, there's no repent. I mean, without repentance, there's no letting. Because you're subconsciously justifying using your mind. This is as big as it gets. This is that bright, shining light I've talked about for years. Once you see it, my God, I am the definition of evil. Because what I've done is I've put God's name on all this sin that I've been doing. All right, well, what we're studying here is the word revealed. And the revealed is that not Christ, it's what it says essentially, Christ, the day of Christ will not be revealed until the son of perdition is revealed. The man of sin is revealed. You think you got it. The world, they believe, I've got it. Here's the chart. It's going to show you what's got to happen before Christ again, blah, 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 blah.
So you're saying that there is a man who's going to appear.
You.
But you're talking about the church, and you're talking about...
And they got to see that they're the man of sin.
It is individual then. We cleared that up, right?
It's individual and corporate.
But yes, it is individual. Okay. Now on the corporate level, is a man going to appear?
No. That's just comic book theology.
That's the big question.
Yeah, this is the only scripture they...
So how is it going to happen corporately?
It's going to happen when you repent. That's what you have to believe. That's you...
individual. Why are those hard to understand?
Well, because the individual is that's why you have to believe with... Same as Noah, that Noah condemned the world by his obedience. He didn't... Same is true. Lot had to leave Sodom.
Okay, but it's still individual.
But the only way it can be corporate is when the individuals see it. Then there's a potential of it being corporate. But now, I promise you, right now, when this is revealed, the church isn't going to say, oh, praise God, the church is going to kill you and think they're doing God holy service. But that's not our business. Our business is to reveal the man of sin.
And that's done by?
By you sharing that mystery with every person in your life. That every aspect of their life, every hope, every dream is a puff of smoke and meaningless. And they'll kill you for doing that too. What shall I cry? All flesh is as grass. And the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth away. But the word of God abideth forever. And he is the word of God. But none of this will make... Otherwise, it's just... It's spiritual masturbation is what it is for most people. You're born again, not when you say, I accept Jesus. You're born again when you're so sick unto death of this world that you see your poverty and you die with Christ. And then you're born from above or from the first estate. And then you no longer exist. It's Christ living as you when you're abandonment. But if you don't bring every thought into captivity, then your mind is going to take it all back. And you build again the thing that you've destroyed. But the key to in every step of any relationship with God and the release of any power of God, repentance. Amen.
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 All right, so we see, in order for the Son of Man to be revealed, the son of perdition, the man of sin, has to be revealed. We have revealed him. But have you understood it? Have you accepted it? I don't know. Have you seen the pure evil of your own mind? I don't know. But that's all I've preached for 40 years. Harry listened for all those years. Finally, it was in 3 months before he died. Well, no, it wasn't even that long. It was about a month before he died. He started crying and said, I finally understand what you've been saying all these years. And he asked me to forgive him for not seeing it. And I started crying. Because he loved to argue about it. He'd go back and for all those years he went back. He's the one that wanted me to tape the Bible studies, and I just didn't want to do it. And he finally convinced me, and then I find out what he was doing. He was going back and checking every time we met and listening to make sure that I was consistent. But I mean, at least that, again, the only time the people were commended was at Berea. And they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. What things? The thing that Paul told them. All right, let's go back to Luke. Anything else on this? I pray that this bright shining light now again never dims again. So you can see the pure evilness of the use of your mind.
It's like whenever I get to the point of saying, yes, I see my own evil, then it turns out I have to see a little bit more.
And you see more.
Yeah, yeah, the cross goes deeper still.
So, never.
That's the purpose of preaching, problem. So that this mystery of God is revealed faith to faith, glory to glory.
That's how I see revealed, like a layer.
Yeah. But now it's the circumcision of our heart. So that it's a total. It's the circumcision is totally. And it's the metaphorically, heart means the inner man. So that this thing isn't getting in the way of revelation. You can't understand the things of God with your mind. You will always misunderstand them. You will always have a slight way to keep you in the picture. That's all the mind can do. You're gone. All right, back to Luke. Well, in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone upon heaven, from heaven, and destroyed them all. Thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And we know that Lot, that's the one who had to see it. He saw the son of perdition, the man of sin. He saw that it was him, and that's what happened to Abel. That's what happened to Isaiah. That's what happened to every one of them. They saw Christ, and they saw their own evil. They saw because they saw they were the evil one. All right. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Now, it's interesting about a housetop. It's the word doma. But it was used as a patio. But all the houses had this on the housetop. There was a almost like a we think of as a patio, chairs and stuff. But fundamentally, it was used for prayer. That's where they went up to pray. I wish we had some housetops here, but you can't quite do that. And it was used also for just total relaxation, to get away from the world system, and just, it was their cave, if you will. I know I didn't say that. But let's just look to a few of them. Let's go to Luke 5, the housetop stuff.
It was cool up there, too.
Yeah, it was cool. Much cooler than it was down there. This is when well, let's just read it. Verse 16.
What's the short term?
Luke 5, starting verse 16. And he withdrew himself, Christ, into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Christ. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he saith unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your thoughts, in your hearts? Whether is easy to say, Thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise. and take up thy couch and go unto thine house. Now, just think of the gall of that guy and his handlers, if you will. Obviously there was a way up to the roof, because you know it was like little steps going up to the roof to get there, so you didn't have to go into the house. And they ripped the tiles off the top and let him down. He had some cojones. All right, let's go to Luke 12. We're just seeing this thing about housetops for a minute.
It's interesting, when he healed the guy, all he said was, "Thy sins are forgiven."
Well, then he went back and said.
Yeah, then he went back and said, on verse 24, he said, "Arise, take up thy couch." Oh, you know, in other words, he said, he healed him.
There we go.
Luke 12, start on verse 1. Well, see, you got to quit letting me go on rants so I can finish something. What?
I don't think we have a big choice in that.
You can shoot me.
Well, we could. Sometimes we might feel like it too.
In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, when you shall fear him which after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So what's spoken in the closet, shout on the housetops. Pat Robertson wrote a book called Shout It from the Housetops that's how he justified Christian television. Because it was the television antennas on it's the rooftop, and they were shouting it from the housetops.
This is talking about something, you know, you wouldn't want to have known, apparently. So
Amen.
It's not really a very good analogy.
I know. That's what I think was so funny when he did it. I reread the letter that Pat Robertson wrote me. He hated me.
I'm sure he feels better about you now.
Because I haven't said anything about him lately. But he and I physically shared an office about the half the size of this room for 3 months. That was an interesting experience. All right. Anybody have any other? Everybody agree 100%?
Yeah, I'm going to go up on my housetop.
Yeah.
All right.
Take a big. I actually have a skylight that opens up, and I could actually get out on my housetop.
I'm so proud of you.
And I could be biblical.
But have you ever done it?
He has done it.
I have done it.
No, you haven't. You haven't gone up there and shouted.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.